Today, it's half a Monday evening property rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, unfortunately, Edwin is unable to join me tonight for our normal Monday evening property rant. Hopefully he'll be back soon. But nevertheless, what I wanted to do was to go through some of the material, which thanks to Cookie Boy, we have in spades, actually. Lots going on at the moment. And of course, a lot of it relating to the falls in the property market. Before I go there, just a starting conversation point is that the latest polls highlight that more households, particularly lower income households, are significantly under pressure and feel worse off in the wake of the budget. Women and lower income earnings have had the most negative reaction to the May budget, which is quite interesting, bearing in mind where Labour normally sits. And it's also worth highlighting, I think, that this is broadly based and it's a big problem for the incumbent government, because the government is not looking after their interests, but perhaps their own interests. And in fact, there was this article which came out as well over the weekend based on our analysis that's been used by a research platform, Our Top 10, looking specifically at mortgage stress and highlighting that there are significant pressures. Of course, if you've been following me, this is something which has been very much in my frame of reference for some long time. And I'm afraid that the story of housing slumps spreading into the suburbs is getting a lot of momentum in the paper. The real estate downturn is quickly spreading to almost every suburb in Sydney and Melbourne and into smaller capitals as well. And looks ahead are also being slashed. The speed of Australia's housing price slump is forcing economists and analysts to review forecasts that in some cases they have only just made. As tax policy changes and higher borrowing costs hit activity and confidence in the markets across the country. And in fact, Chief Economist Nicola Powell said, "This is the deepest start to a downturn Sydney has ever experienced." That's from Domain, of course. And they recently had to update their forecasts quite significantly further south. "It's a painful adjustment. It's not a crash," said Louis Christopher. "I think we're just at the beginning," said Paul Bloxham. And Baron Jerry said, "It's a sharper downturn, broader than we had expected." And of course, the mapping is quite interesting. This is something which you can get a bit of an insight from the Catality and AFR. And in fact, in my show yesterday, Perfect Storm, Home Price Falls Are Spreading Like a Rash, I actually went through that in some detail. Oh, and by the way, this particular show has got a considerable amount of interest on YouTube. Hyping actually makes a significant difference to the momentum of my show. So thank you for all of those who choose to do that. Really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. Now, of course, there's always two sides to the story. Price drops before their eyes, leads to stress for vendors, but maybe buyers get a little bit more enthusiastic. Everyone's pushing Melbourne. And of course, this article says Melbourne has another lift. That's 4 weeks in a row of higher clearance. And the numbers, Lou Christopher's quoted as saying, "While Melbourne's housing market has been battered by a weak state economy, high taxes and crime rates, Christopher said the November election perhaps was a source of hope. I suspect some buyers are taking a bet that there might be a change in government or a change in policy toward property and the economy," he said. But actually, it's still weak there, even so. And the clearance rates are still pretty low. And yeah, the headlines just go on and on, really. Terrace passes in for $200,000 less than it sold for last. A two-story terrace house in Darlinghurst that last sold for $3.15 million 5 years ago passed in on a bid of $2.95 million at auction on Saturday. So yeah, something is not great. And of course, now we're starting to get these sorts of lists showing the peak drop. So North Curl Curl is down 19.4%, Malabar by 18.7%, both of course in Sydney, Deep Dean down 14.1% in Melbourne, and so it goes on. In fact, there's a top 50 here, and you go down the list, you can see that it's top-end markets that are falling fastest, but down 12 to 13% is quite consistent at Canterbury, Mossman, Earlwood, Gordon, Bella Vista, Toorak in Melbourne, of course, too. And so it goes on. And down the bottom of the list there, places like Kirribilli in Sydney, Ashburton in Melbourne, and Beacon Hill in Sydney and North Epping in Sydney, 11% down from peak. So yeah, this is a serious correction. And the averages, of course, mask, as I often say. Tarek produced a rather nice chart that showed that, well, we had this massive bubble up, of course, from October 25, but it's been moving down there. This is the rolling 30-day price growth by Capital City. And yeah, it's definitely looking pretty weak. And even Perth, although, of course, the article from Perth says, oh, it's only 0.3%, nothing to see here, and Perth is still bubbling along quite hard. Well, for now, maybe, but what about the future? We'll see. Now, it's very interesting that Shane Wright highlighted here that property prices are set to tumble into 2027. And he talks about the forecast released by economists from the Commonwealth Bank, Westpac, NAB and ANZ, all show that property prices in Sydney, Melbourne could fall between 3 and 9% this year. Other capital cities are expected to climb. We'll see about that. Combination of interest rates, poor affordability, and the federal government's property taxation reforms have led to the sharpest fall in nationwide property values in 4 years. And it's interesting that HSBC chief economist Paul Bloxham, who, by the way, expects the RBA to hold rates steady on Tuesday, said that both the economy and the property markets are slowing, so the bank could be cutting rates next year. Our central case is that the slowdown in growth, weakened further by the cooling housing market, will see the jobs market loosen further. This will see core inflation head to target fast enough for the RBA to not lift the cash rate any further. We see a downswing in growth being sufficient for the RBA to begin to cut its cash rate in the second half of 2027, which of course might then offset some of the price falls. But nevertheless, this article highlights the fact that Australians have long complained about residential property becoming unaffordable. The Albanese government is discovering that not all voters necessarily welcome falling property values. And this is talking about Tony Barry, director at polling firm Redbridge, who said the only group who were feeling somewhat positive about the downturn were prospective first home buyers with significant cash savings looking to get into the market. But that's a very small segment of the market. For those who don't have significant savings at the moment, it's all academic, isn't it? If the property super cycle upswing is over, it could mean a decade or so of real prices ranging sideways and a moderation in house prices to income ratios, said Shane Oliver, which is quite interesting, something which I hold as a significantly probable thesis too. And as I've said previously, NAB, of course, has upgraded their falls. And UBS economist Stephen Wu said the average dwelling price correction since the early 1990s lasted about 13 months, with an average peak to trough decline of about 5%, which is true, but this is a super cycle. This is the end of a super cycle now because of all of those factors. And we could list them out. We have the high interest rates at the moment. Of course, we have high inflation. We have flat wages. We have the international situation relating to the bond markets, so putting rates up. We've got the oil crisis putting more inflationary pressure into the system. And we've got the massive investments in AI, which are putting the price of money up and also providing a significant inflationary pulse too. So when you put all of that together, the chances are that actually we're going to see the pressures on the economy continuing, and I think therefore home prices are going to continue to drift lower. And when I say drift, that might be a bit polite. It might be a more significant fall. Now, there are consequences, of course, and one of the most significant is to do with bank earnings. And this was written before Westpac reported today. The strong financial updates to be presented by the banks this week will mask increasing risks as the outlook for the big lenders, which ruled off their books at the end of June before the full brunt of the property downturn bit balance sheets, weakens over the rest of the year. And Richard Wiles is quoted there from Morgan Stanley. We believe good results are widely expected by investors. Mortgage growth has only just started to slow. Business loan growth has remained broad-based in June. Margins should increase in the June quarter, and costs are being well managed and loan losses are expected to remain low because it takes time for the change in operating conditions after federal budget to take effect, which is probably right. But when you actually think about it, the chances are that the very high housing credit growth that we've seen could well come to a bit of an end, which of course has a significant impact on bank profits. And we saw a bit of a rush for self-managed superfund loans. They doubled in weeks before the government intervention. The prohibition, of course, is now in as part of the Greens' deal with Labour on the controversial capital gains tax legislation. And Westpac, when they reported, well, Westpac is first forecasting a sharp downturn in investor demand for housing loans. Of course, perhaps isn't too surprising. They forecast investor demand for credit to slump to 4.4% by 2028 from 9.1% in 2026, as the budget changes to negative gearing eliminate some of the tax advantages available to property investors. And they're also pointing to intensifying competition in home loans and deposits as headwinds for margins. Yes, the margins were squeezed, and they said that they're probably going to grow their mortgage book below the level of the market in the short term, given recent interest rate cuts at other banks, which was firing up competition. Number of mortgage applications fell as well. And they also discussed the RBA. We were expecting two rate rises, but we're now potentially suggesting the next rate move will be down. And they also reported that bad debts were stable, although the bank lifted the level of overlays that protect investors from future bad debts. And it pointed to an uptick in bad loans in the manufacturing and transport sectors as being behind that move. Oh, and they're going to use AI more. Thousands of Westpac bankers are using bots to assess mortgage and credit card applications as the lender scrambles to demonstrate a return on their massive investment in AI. But of course, not everybody's believing that the RBA is going to cut rates or hold rates. And in fact, Warren Hogan said in an article, the RBA should raise rates this week, saying, I expect to see the Reserve Bank of Australia 4-3 to increase the cash rate by 0.25% on Tuesday, because a rate rise would serve a number of purposes amplified by the very low probability markets are putting on a move. An increase would boost perceptions of independence, enhance the board's inflation-fighting credibility, and send a message to professional markets to lift their game on pricing the term structure of interest rates. And a final but not insignificant benefit would be to kill off unhelpful perceptions that the RBA targets house prices. So while the market is expecting a hawkish hold from the RBA, with inflation soon entering a sixth year above target, there is nothing hawkish about keeping the cash rate at 4.35%. And my own perspective is this. I suspect the RBA will hold, but they should lift, because the inflationary pressures in the economy, thanks to the government policies in particular, are definitely part of the problem. Another interesting discussion point, of course, is migration. I made a show the other day about whether Labour will really cut migration. And there were a couple of interesting articles on News 24. And of course, Sky said Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke firstly cancelled a highly anticipated National Press Club address, as I highlighted in my earlier show. And now the Albanese government will not reduce its migration targets, with Tony Burke preparing to unveil changes to the system amid growing pressure from One Nation. The Albanese government has confirmed it will not cut immigration targets below its 225,000 net overseas migration forecast, despite multiple internal cabinet delays, a massive public backlash. Immigration Minister Tony Burke's upcoming package relies on closing administrative loopholes rather than delivering the deep cuts Australia desperately needs. And I've said for some time that migration is one of those factors that influenced house prices to be stronger. Turning migration down would actually help to reduce house price momentum. But of course, there's a big business grizzle because they can't get workers, they say. And of course, a lot of other people are grizzling that they need more people as well. So yes, this migration thing is going to bubble on. Politically speaking, this won't help Labour, I think, if they don't actually come out more firmly. I also made a show the other day specifically talking about first home buyers because they've got a dilemma. And this dilemma is getting more and more significant because if prices continue to fall, of course, many first-time buyers will say, well, I can sit on the sidelines and see what happens. But interestingly, I've been studying those up traders too. And fascinating to see that there are a number of real estate agents now pushing like mad, trying to persuade up traders, in other words, people who want to sell and then buy a more expensive property, to go ahead, because they're arguing that home prices have actually slid more at the top end of the market, so you can buy cheaper relative to where you sell. Except when you do the math and include all of the costs of transitioning from one property to the other, it doesn't make a lot of sense at the moment. There's around 800,000 potential up traders across the country, but many of them are standing on the sidelines saying, no, I'm going to wait to see. So I think this is now another noise point rather than a real information point from real estate agents. I don't believe we're going to see a significant spike in up trading at the moment. We'll see, but that's what my surveys are showing. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, Tom Pannis is talking now about the great real estate agents reset the markets. Aren't going to apologize for being tough. Stop waiting for rates, headlines, or buyers to save you. The great real estate agent reset is happening now, and the agents who adapt, tell the truth, and sharpen their skills will earn the recovery. Yes, I think that's probably right. But of course, there are a lot of real estate agents who, frankly, over the years have not had to do much at all because, frankly, people just walk in and say, yeah, I'll have it. So the proportion of agents who actually are doing really good work, and there are some, probably will survive, but I suspect we're going to see the total number of real estate agents shrinking significantly. And let me just be clear, because I want everyone to understand, I don't believe that we can have sustainable house price growth at the moment. House prices are still significantly over long-term values, looking at incomes and other factors too. That's why more people are more leveraged up. And whilst the negative wealth effect will be a problem and will potentially have an economic impact more broadly, this is the only way out of the bind we've got ourselves in. Until, of course, the government decides that they can't allow things to get worse and then stick another intervention or two in. I'm still expecting more first-time buyer incentives to come and also support for the construction sector too. So we are, I think, at a very interesting inflection point. And I'm also quite amused that some of those in the real estate industry are still talking about signs of life in the housing market. As this article highlights, well, the head of REA Group reckons reports of the demise of the Australian property market are grossly exaggerated. We will see. But more broadly, I think there is a very important political and economic discussion to be had, and it's not being had on the mainstream anymore, which is a problem because, of course, it's been politicised, the property market, and other issues too have been politicised, particularly by Labour, but also by the other players out there too. So this is a really opportune time to have a significant debate about what the policy settings should be for Australia going forward. So there's a very timely show tomorrow. In my live show, I'm going to have Jed Rannach and Robbie Barwick coming on, and we're going to talk about the Australian People's Party and that they are a real alternative. But this is a conversation for you to ask Robbie and Gerard questions about their policies, the economy, and what needs to change. We know we can't go on the way we're going on at the moment. We know that big business is ruling the roost. We know that ordinary people are being crushed. So the question is, what policies need to be put in place to make a change? And this is, I think, an opportunity to explore some of those. And for those who think this is perhaps not a necessary conversation, let me just leave you with this thought. There is only one OECD country that taxes companies more than Australia. So, interestingly, it's not just individuals who are paying through the nose with ever higher taxes, as well as ever higher home prices, but actually the tax settings for corporates are also all over the place too. We have a set of structural issues in the country. The existing parties seem unable or unwilling to change direction to take us to a future which is definitely potentially there. And so this is a conversation about what we need to do differently. So that's a bit of a summary. Home prices are going to continue to slide from this point. There's a risk of higher interest rates still on the table, whether it's over the next couple of days or whether it's in the next few months, who knows. Inflation is still being stoked higher by government policy, big debt, and a bunch of other factors. And there's also an inflationary pulse coming from the Middle East, which of course is still not being resolved, and the AI investment boom too. So that means that ordinary households are being hung out to dry. More people are struggling just to put food on the table and pay the bills. More people are behind with their cash flow, more money going out and coming in. And unfortunately, I'm seeing more people grabbing more additional loans at a time when interest rates are rising and those costs are rising too. So that, I think, sums up the state of play at the moment. But join us tomorrow for a conversation with Robbie and Gerard to talk about what the alternative future could be. And hopefully Edwin will be back, well, not quite sure when, but hopefully soon, to continue on normal rants. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high. Price discovery and price transparency are hard to find. And then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.